How are you, brothers and sisters, for such an opportunity to have a blending conference in St. Gabriel? It is quite a rare opportunity. On my way of driving about 40 to 50 minutes from Irvine to come here, and there's a brother who drove me. He said that every time I drive to St. Gabriel Valley, it's like what? Down the memory lane. How should I say it? It just brings back many sweet memories. And I like to talk about how did the church in how did the St. Gabriel Valley started? I don't have time to recount, but many of you were here. That is 1987. At that time, because Brother Lee had a leading, that is to gospelize Taiwan through door knocking. That is to knock on people's door in the communities to preach the gospel to them. And such a practice also passed on to the United States. In the summertime of 1989, we have a semi-annual training of 10 days. And half of the time, we went out to door knock, that is in Orange County. And afterwards, some brothers who serve the Chinese-speaking saints, and in the 80s, the Chinese flooded in into the St. Gabriel Valley, especially the West St. Gabriel Valley. Of course, at that time, the majority are from Taiwan, not so many from mainland China, but gradually, 80 on, more and more from mainland China came. At that time, we say, let's go out to knock on doors in the Chinese communities. How long did we send? But David Koo, were you here? I think at least a week or two, daily we went out door knocking around this area. I think we have knocked for 1 to 2 weeks. I don't remember how long. At least 1,000 people believe in the Lord and were baptized. Doesn't matter where they were around this area. You were a group of the Chinese, of our countrymen in these communities to the Lord. Afterwards, we say it's a feast, a gospel feast, because so many were saved. There's so many need to be cared for, need to be shepherded. Not too many saints were here. So in Los Angeles, especially for us in Orange County, we have more brothers and sisters. I think for 1 year, at least 1 year, week by week, they drove up here to the San Gabriel Valley area to care for and shepherd the new ones, the new believers. And after over a year, it raised up some churches. I don't know if San Gabriel maybe started from that time. Afterwards, at Montreal Park, that's after that. And in East St. Gabriel Valley, we also went door knocking. And at that time, Diamond Bar has seen the heights. There were some brothers and sisters who lived there. But I said the church life at that time had a definite start. Of course, you had later Rolling Heights and other localities. And gradually, more and more churches were raised up in the East and West San Gabriel Valley until today. At that time, door knocking, and after the door knocking, we started a church life at that time. But David Dong came. Not only he attended the door knocking, also stayed here to begin to help the churches, the new churches, to be established. And also Brother James Lee, he later on went to Diamond Bar. Brother David Dong, he was in Chicago and for the gospel and the churches that were raised up, he stayed. And Brother James Lee, he was from the East Coast. I think he was in Rhode Island, and he was in the East Coast. And at that time, he attended. He came and joined the coordination and caring for the churches. Before that time, I had spent time here. And after that, I continued to coordinate to serve the Chinese-speaking work in Southern California. Every time I either drive 605, you know, 605, that is a dividing line between the East and West San Gabriel Valley. I have spent much time there. I think if I close my eyes, I can drive on that freeway, and if not 57. You know 57, north and south, and out there, after that's 55. I have gone back and forth on these freeways quite often. You can say, at least part of my heart has left in San Gabriel Valley. So this time, you cannot say I'm coming back home, but more or less, I have sweet memories. But I look around, there's so many dear brothers and sisters, maybe many of you came after that era. I'm an old man. You are new. I'm old. I came here a long time ago. This conference is and came out of the Lord's burden within me. For a long time, we have not been here. In the past 5 years, for the training and eldership for Southern California was held here in the meeting hall in Arcadia. Thank the Lord for such a beautiful and large meeting place, maybe 600 to 700 for 5 years of time, the brothers met. Until last year, we finished the 5 year training on the eldership. Beside that, I rarely or have less time to visit the saints here. I have a burden, especially after the pandemic. It seems it's a new season has started. So I talk with Brother Dong and David Dong and Brother James Lee. How about we have a conference that is a blending between East and West? Although you are of East and West, but the two ends may not have blended that closely. So I hope that this time we can come together. Blending is the way. Amen. The Lord has brought in a practice, a precious practice, that is the blending among the churches. And all of that is for the building up of the body of Christ. This hymn that you just sing is what I wrote. Why do I want you to sing it? I remember verse 13, the last stanza or verse reminded me of the recent conference in Taiwan, the International Chinese Speaking Conference, talk about 2 Timothy chapter 4, 17 and 18. At the end of Paul's word, how he kept his faith and he ran and finished the course and he fought the good fight. For him to see the Lord's face and overcome by his love. Since that verse is there, we'll use that verse to sing and also to review the conference in Taiwan. That was very blessed. How many of you have gone to Taiwan? I think on Lord's Day, maybe 35,000 saints have came, and over 5,000 overseas from Taiwan attended. From the U.S. and Canada, the North American saints, of course, some so-called legal, illegal. That means some registered and some did not register. Those are the so-called illegals. It doesn't matter what you have a register or not. About 2,000 came from North America. So the overseas saints from who attended the conference in Taiwan, about 2,000 attended from North America. That is quite something good and great. This weekend, I have a particular burden. Let me put it this way. I hope that this morning, there are many brothers and sisters have attended. I think maybe this afternoon and evening, maybe there are more. Maybe tomorrow morning, we'll have the most number of saints. Since you have a heart, you came early Saturday morning, that you will take the lead to what can I say, to create, to produce an atmosphere for this weekend. What kind of atmosphere? I think it's an atmosphere of what? Pursuing the Lord. That is an atmosphere of treasuring the Lord's words. Of course, it is an atmosphere of prayer. The burden within me, of course, you have seen the topic, is the four level meaning of God's New Testament economy. The burden within me is not to stir you up, brothers and sisters. It's not just to give you an inspiration. That is good, but my burden is that for you, brothers and sisters, who have a heart, you who have some learning, and those of you who have been have spent some years in the Lord's recovery, I hope that you will separate, sanctify these four messages. You can say, we can say review, maybe we can use this word to review these messages. What are we reviewing? Reviewing God's New Testament economy. We are familiar with this subject and these terminologies, and we have heard and read quite much about it. On the way here, I thought about what Paul said. Where did he say it? In Acts chapter 20, Paul was passing on his way to from Greece to Jerusalem, and he came going to Macedonia. He gathered the elders from Ephesus and spoke some words to them. He said, "I may not see you from now on." That's the last time he was seeing them, setting sail for us souls. And so chapter 20 of Acts is an important chapter. I will not speak of anything else, but Paul, in his fellowship, had two kind of words. All that is of benefit to you, I have not withhold from you, either in public or in private, in personally. I taught you. You know that Paul paid much attention to the church in Ephesus. He spent more time than other churches. He spent 3 years there. I did not cease admonishing each one. So he spent 3 years, this number one apostle spent the time in Ephesus. What did he do? He said that with humility, with tears, outwardly he has the attack and suffering from the Jewish people, but he said that I did not withhold from you what is good to you. So Paul's burden is to share what is most important, what is most central things to them. He did not shrink from declaring all the counsel of God to them. And he spoke these words to the elders. And God's counsel, he says, I did not without God's counsel to you. What is a counsel? A counsel is affirmed plan or decision based upon a will. That is the counsel. That is God's will. That is God's plan and God's decisions. Because of God's counsel or will, I did not cease admonishing with you. I did not stop. I did not withhold anything from you. For 3 years, he shared something to the ones in Ephesus, not something light, something superficial. Rather, he shares something central, serious, solemnly, that is related with God's eternal economy. That I have not withheld anything. I did not shrink from declaring to you all the counsel of God. Paul, he said that his ministry is to complete the word of God. He did not withhold. He did not shrink back the counsel. I did not say that I am Paul. No, don't think that about that. I'm talking about the brothers before us, especially our dear brother Witness Lee. Reflect back. Some of you have been here a long time. Just think about it. Not only 3 years, Brother Lee spent 35 years in the United States in the past, in the 35 years minus 5 years, because 5 years he went back to Taiwan for 5 years, 1984 to 1989. For 5 years he went back to Taiwan. We can count that he was in the Far East. In North America, the West, he spent 30 years. Paul only spent 3 years. But at least spent 30 years. In the 30 years, at the richest, the fullest of his ministry, and we can testify for 30 years, individually, personally, from house to house, in public, in a conference, or in a training, he did not shrink back without any of God's counsel to us. Today, for us to sit here, quite a bit of understanding and affirmation concerning God's purpose and God's counsel, because there's a person who spoke 30 years, once, twice, again, and again. This morning, I stand here. Do I have 100% I'm totally assured? I dare not to say that, but at least not only myself, there are many other saints or brothers. You should give this testimony. More or less, the things related with God's counsel have been worked into, constituted into us. Paul spoke such a word to the elders. That is the importance of the elders. You're leading God's flock, the shepherd of God's flock. So it is so important of their responsibility and position, that is to what? To teach what the apostles taught them to the brothers and sisters. Today among the common Christians, or the so-called Christian circles in Christianity, I can tell you concerning the deeper things, concerning things of God, and concerning the central things. If you look at a tree, there's some central things. There few, rarely anyone has a burden, has a vision, has an interest in seeing the central things. You can say it's almost all but among us, right? Like the conference in Taipei, of course we did not have a specific topic on God's economy. The burden of that conference is such, God's economy. Let me tell you, whatever meeting, whatever conference, whatever training we have, we can never depart from this. That is right. Because everything has to start and begin with God's counsel and conclude everything with God's counsel. If we do that, that is right. Then we'll be protected in the principle God's leading in this age. Is such because the ministry of this age has a central teaching and central burden, that is on God's economy or God's counsel. I hope that you, brothers and sisters, will cooperate with this conference. Don't be too excited. I'm not saying you should be depression. You should exercise the spirit. You should exercise the spirit, but do not be emotional. In touching this matter, we need the book of Ephesus. We need to have a spirit. Talk about the spirit of the mind. It's not separated from the spirit. It is joined to the mind. The spirit of the mind. The mind of the spirit is that the spirit has been saturated into our mind to mingle with our mind, even occupied our mind. And such a mind, such a spirit, we need to exercise. Let me tell you, I will exercise the spirit as you're listening, as you're writing, exercise the spirit. May we all come before God's word. Not just enjoy a little bit of the words of grace. Yes, we're enjoying. But the burden is God's eternal purpose. Okay, let us come to the subject of this weekend. In 1988, yes, it is this time. In 1987, we came door knocking. 1988, our brother in Taiwan had the special fellowship and meeting with the co-workers and elders. In a certain message, he gave this message. You can go to Collective Work of Witness Lee, and you'll find it. That's that in May of 1988, he did not speak a long message, but part of that, was he prepared? Was it instant? I do not know. But at that time, he gave us this topic. And 1988, the topic he gave is the topic we have this weekend, the four level meaning of God's New Testament economy. I have another plea with you. Not only you need to use this mind of the Spirit to receive the Word of God, I hope that you have a further grace that is at least in the 48 hours, you need to come out of a personal situation, environment, be it of your joy or your sadness. How about it? Come out of it. Temporarily. You say, oh, if I come out, where will I be? You need to enter into eternity. You need to enter into the eternity in God's universe. You need to go into the divine and mystical realm of God, because we need to come out of our limitations, our minuteness, that daily our lives, there's so many limitations in our daily lives that occupies us, preoccupy us. How about use these 48 hours to be lost in God's infinite universe? In this universe, let us touch God Himself and His heart's desire and purpose in our words today, that is God's economy. In 1988, Brother Lee had a conference or a meeting talk about God's New Testament economy has a four level meaning. This is very special. I actually did not remember, but he spoke such a word. I read it, but I did not have any impression. But just a few months, I came back to that message, and I discovered he had such a fellowship. Before that, it seems like Brother Lee did not speak of it such a way. After that message, he did not speak in such a way. Have you heard the four-level meaning of God's New Testament economy? There are there's a four-level meaning. We do not have time in these few days to go in details in an in-depth way to look into this message, but rather I hope that you, brothers and sisters, you can go and take these outlines and the word of the ministry excerpts. You will enter into this and pursue after that. What we can do can only in a simple, brief, crystallized, overall way to touch what is the greatest thing in God's heart, that is His own economy. That is His desire, His will, His good pleasure, His plan, His purpose, are all related with His economy. And what is God's economy? We have heard so much and spoke so much. We'll use this four-level meaning to review what is God's New Testament economy. We have spoke again and again, just like Paul, the Apostle Paul. We will speak it again and again until we're constituted with this matter. Today, for us to be a testimony in the churches, has so much a close relationship to do with this matter of God's economy. I will just talk about the four levels. The first one is the teaching of the apostles, and this afternoon we'll talk about the ministry of the New Testament economy. This evening we will touch the matter of the body of Christ tomorrow morning. Message 4 is the churches of God. Here are the four things. And these four things are unique, only and unique. In the whole universe, there's only one teaching of the apostles. In the New Testament ministry, New Testament, there's only one ministry. Christ has only one body. God has only one church. The churches, the so-called, there are many churches, but not many kinds of churches. Only it's only one church. Everything is one. Today, in the Lord's recovery, for us to keep the oneness of the Spirit, there are many considerations and things that are involved. But this morning, this weekend, we will use this way to speak about it. That is, for us to be in one, to be God's testimony, is based upon these four levels of God's economy. Besides the teaching of the apostles, there are no other teaching besides the New Testament ministry. There's no, and not another ministry besides the body of Christ. There's no other goal. And besides the churches of God, what can we say? There's no other church. There's only one. And that will keep us in oneness. The teaching of the apostles, I will use two words to describe it. Every Love, well, I'll use two words to describe it. It's not from Brother Lee, but based upon my prayer and consideration before the Lord, the teaching of the apostles concerning the first meaning of God's New Testament economy, that talks about the teaching of the apostle is the content or the plan of God's economy. Content and plan. And what is the ministry of the New Testament economy? It is the work of God's New Testament economy and the service of God's New Testament economy. You say, are you qualified? Are you okay? Have you reached up to the standard of God? You need to evaluate it according to the ministry of the New Testament economy. Is your work or service a part of that or not? The body of Christ, message three, it is the body, the goal and accomplishment of God's economy. The goal and accomplishment of God's New Testament economy is the body of Christ. So we have goal and accomplishment. God's New Testament economy is to gain the body of Christ. Number four, the churches of God, it's talking about the realization and testimony of God's New Testament economy. That is expression. So the fourth level is realization and testimony. So we have the four level meaning, right? I do not have time to go in details, in depth, but I will rather speak it in as a brief way, a crystallized way, going through the outlines. So let's turn to the outline in your hands. Roman number one, the first level of the meaning of God's New Testament economy is the teaching of the apostles. In other words, the apostles' teaching is God's New Testament economy. You can say God's New Testament economy is the teaching of the apostles because the entire teaching of the apostles, its content is God's economy. That is this New Testament. This New Testament Bible, we do not talk about anything else. The content of the apostles' teaching is the God's New Testament economy. It talks about Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It talks about the Word becoming flesh, became flesh, and talk about the God-man Jesus, talk about his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and talk about the eternal life, and the church and the kingdom, and talk about everything. But all of that are the contents of God's New Testament economy. As we read the New Testament Bible is to read the teaching of the apostles. You must have such a view, have such an understanding. Our perception of the universe, that is, should be God's New Testament economy. We should know God's economy to know Christ, God, Christ, and his all-inclusiveness, all-extensiveness is all based upon God's economy. After this, I will tell you a little further. I will have another conference to have some fellowship about another four main points of God's economy. I will just preview it to you. One, the first main point is the all-inclusive Christ, who is the centrality and universality of God's economy. There's nothing else but Christ. Number two, about our faith. The Christian faith, that is not the faith of our believing. That faith is the realm or sphere and element of God's economy. God's economy is what? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 4, it's in faith. That is very important. And number three, focus of God's economy. You can say the experience, that is the spirit without spirit, the mingling of two spirits, or the mingled spirit. The number four, the New Jerusalem, is the ultimate consummation of God's economy. This weekend, we have these four level, 4 points, and add the next four, and you add that four and four together, you will capture the meaning, the central meaning of God's economy. That's worthwhile for us to use the rest of our life, our entire life, to know and to pursue. I will come back to Romans 1. The first level of meaning of God's economy is the teaching of the apostles. A, only the teaching of the apostles can stand in God's economy, and it will stand on to eternity. No other teachings will stand, only the teaching of the apostles. It will stand, and it will stand on to eternity. See, the apostles' teachings unto eternity. At the last chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, if anyone add or delete to this, then such a person will be cut off from the book of life, right? So, what is that? What is that that cannot be added or deleted? That is the apostles' teaching. Today, internally, we say it is God's Word. That is right. We say the Bible, especially the New Testament Bible, that is right. But in Paul's time, in the initial church life, they did not have the New Testament. They only had the Old Testament, or at that time, some epistles written by the apostles. But today, in our hands, we have the full New Testament. No one can add, no one can delete. This is the apostles' teaching. That included the words of the Lord Jesus in the four gospels. It also includes the apostles' words, the words of the apostles, especially those particularly chosen by the Lord Jesus. And you will see, pay a special attention to Paul and John. This book is not a book of morals or ethics, nor a book of history, religion, nor is it a book of theology. The Bible in our hands is the teaching of the apostles, the unique teaching. B, we must remember that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's said in Ephesians and also in the New Jerusalem, we can see of a type. Today, the church of God is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That is the teaching of the apostles. It is the foundation. With no other foundation. What is our foundation? It is the apostles' teaching. Number two, the 3,000 believers who were saved on the day of Pentecost continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. The first church, the church in Jerusalem, established a model, a prototype until today. How they lived the church life. That is, they continue steadfastly in two things. Actually, they're all related. One is the teaching of the apostles. This is the subject this morning. And from this teaching produces one fellowship. That is the fellowship of the apostles. Both are unique. We don't have two teachings among us. We don't have two fellowship among us. There's only one teaching and one fellowship. You add breaking of bread and the prayers together. The breaking of bread and the prayer is, you can, it's, they're two different things, but they're of two different aspects. This is what we need to practice in the church life, in the Christian life. But what is the foundation? The foundation is the apostles' teaching and fellowship. A, the teaching and the fellowship form one group, which is of the apostles, and related directly to God's economy. For the keeping of the oneness of the church, the body of Christ, both are unique. Today, in the realm of Christianity, what most is of most outstanding, you can say, is division, right? Divisions, different sects, different denominations, thousands, and if not 10,000s or more. Whenever we lost the oneness, God's economy will end, will be terminated. God cannot accomplish his heart's desire. We, brothers and sisters, each one of us, we have the responsibility to be clear, to continue steadfast in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. This is the responsibility of the eldership. That is what? To care, to oversee God's flock, God's church. One, the teaching of the apostles was the holding factor of the one accord. We're one accord because we're of the same background. We have the same disposition. It's not because we have the same culture. No, none of that. But what? But we hold on to the one teaching. Two, if we limit ourselves to the apostles' teaching, the teaching concerning God's New Testament economy, we will be kept in oneness and we'll have one way for one goal. That is in the Lord's recovery throughout the centuries, has been over 100 years. Many a times, there are dissensions, arguments, dissensions, divisions among us. But how can we be limited or to be kept in the oneness? The first main point is to limit ourselves in to the teaching of the apostles. Then we can go on to have one way for one goal. Everything's related with the New Testament economy. Three, in the church, there should be only one unique teaching, the teaching of the apostles. That is unique, uniquely one. Furthermore, there should be one unique fellowship. Fellowship came out of teaching. I have a teaching everyone receives, right? This teaching then they'll produce a fellowship. Today in Christianity, there are many small circles, the small sects or denomination or so-called fellowships, or came out of a certain kind of teaching. The Baptists emphasize you have to be baptized in a certain kind of water, so it became a fellowship of the Baptists. They have their kind, their circle of fellowship. It is not the fellowship of the oneness of the body, but it is beyond the body of Christ, the fellowship. They have a special, particular teaching and therefore fellowship. There should be one unique fellowship which is produced by the apostles' teaching. Four, any fellowship outside the fellowship of the apostles is divisive. Our fellowship must be inside the fellowship of the apostles. How about go on and read 1 Timothy. Due to their different teachings came in, Paul therefore fought. He was in Ephesus. He was dealing with the church in Ephesus because he charged Timothy to stay in Ephesus to what? To tell or to charge certain ones not to but teach things differently from God's economy. It means that if there's anything outside of God's economy, anything that is outside, beyond the teaching of the apostles, are different teachings. It did not say it is an evil teaching. It just said it is a different teaching. Today, maybe you do not know about the American Christianity or in the whole globe, the situation among Christians or Christianity. It's a whole group of psychology involved, even politics, psychology, all came into the church life. Things of the world. In Paul's time, it's called Gnosticism, Gnostics, and plus the old Jewish religion together invaded the Church of God, and gradually from this, even some of the pagan things, cultic things, the cultic things appeared and formed different schools, different schools of thought. That they are the different teachings, and that teaching, these some are of the Jewish origin. What? The different teachings drew and blinded and influenced the saints as a result of receiving such different teachings. The church became divided. The church had a problem and degraded. Now, all due to different teachings. And came out of different teachings. Of the breaking bread the breaking of bread and the prayers form a second group and our practices of the believer's Christian life. That's important, but it's not our emphasis this weekend. Rule number three, the entire teaching of the New Testament, which is the apostles' teaching, is God speaking, God's oracle. In the Son, to his New Testament people. The entire New Testament, which is the apostles' teaching, is God speaking. It is God's oracle in the Son. You know, that such a word is not only God speaking in the Son, in the incarnation, in his flesh, but this Son, through death and resurrection, became the Spirit, and the Spirit entered into the disciples, and their speaking become a part of the speaking of the Son, a part of God speaking. At the end, such a Son became the seven spirits, continuing his speaking in the book of Revelation, that completed the entire apostles' teaching, the entire New Testament. In the universe, there's a marvelous matter, God speaking. Hey, right? Without God's work, what do we have? We just have vanity. A vanity is we just have emptiness. One, in the age of the New Testament, God does not speak to his people in many portions or in many ways or through the prophets. Two, in the New Testament age, God only speaks in one person, the Son. That is, in the New Testament economy, is through the Son, Jesus Christ. God's beloved Son. B, God firstly spoke in the Son as a man in the four Gospels. That is, he's speaking in the four Gospels. C, God secondly spoke in the Son as the Spirit through the apostles in Acts and 21 epistles, that is from Romans through Jude. Therefore, the speaking of the apostles, because they were in spirit, they also have the Spirit of life, this pneumatic Christ in them to be mingle and one, to be one with them. Therefore, whatever they spoke, whatever they wrote from Acts to the epistles became the speaking of the Son who is pneumatized, became the Spirit. D, God thirdly spoke in the Son as the seven spirits through the apostles, John in Revelation. Number one is the four Gospels. God speaking the four Gospels. Then from Romans through Jude, the Acts and 21 epistles. And lastly, in Revelation, all the above three are the speaking of the Sons, and that compose the apostles' teaching. E, God speaking in the teaching of the New Testament was completed through Paul and John. Those two were special vessels used by the Lord. One, the Word of God as the revealed mystery was completed through Paul. Paul what? Paul said he completed the Word of God. Although it was completed, due to the degradation of the church and damage of the church, that misinterpreted, twisted the words of Paul. John came out. His ministry is the mending ministry. That the entire New Testament was completed by John's writings. We all know that the last book written of the Bible is not Revelation, but what's written by John, the Gospel of John. The last is not Paul, but the last one was Peter, but was John. I hope that all of you are clear. This is a speaking in the Son. We call that the apostles' teaching. There are no other teachings besides the unique teaching. We cannot receive any other teaching other than the apostles' teaching. F. This speaking in the Son, the apostles' teaching, does not stress matters such as foot washing, baptism, head covering, etc. These are not the basic, intrinsic, central, and elementary things contained in the New Testament revelations concerning God's eternal economy. Here are some words. Please pay attention. Basic, intrinsic, central, and elementary things. If we pay attention to these other things, we will mistake branches and leaves for the trunk. In the church history, it happened again and again. Yes, these leaves and branches, as we mentioned, such as foot washing, baptism, they are needed, but they're not the basic, intrinsic, central, and elementary things. All the teaching of the leaves and branches could bring in division and create division. We need the Lord's preserving and keeping us to be in line with God's New Testament economy in these four words. These are basic, intrinsic, central, and elementary things. Roman number 4, the teaching of the apostles, is the unique divine revelation of God's New Testament economy. From the incarnation of God to the consummation of the New Jerusalem, carried out by the full ministry of Christ in 3 divine and mystical stages for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy. We have, let's read it together. We may be familiar with this. A. The first stage, the stage of incarnation, is for Christ to bring God into man, to express God in humanity, and to accomplish his judicial redemption as the first stage of God's full ministry, Christ's full ministry. B. The second stage, the stage of inclusion, is for Christ to be begotten as God's firstborn Son, to become the life-giving Spirit, and to regenerate the believers for his body. C. The third stage, the stage of intensification, is for Christ to intensify his organic salvation, to produce the overcomers, and to consummate the New Jerusalem. You can say the apostles' teaching. Is related or included in the 3 stages of the full ministry of Christ. We send our children, young people, out to the full-time training. They are mainly studying and learning about this matter. So, brothers and sisters, we need to pay much attention to this. Roman number 5, the apostles' teaching is the contents of the full gospel of God, comprising not merely a part of the New Testament, but the entire New Testament. Not only includes the 4 gospels, the entire New Testament is the gospel. It is the full content of the gospel of God of the 27 books of the New Testament. Actually, God's full gospel is God's economy. Let me tell you, God's economy is a great gospel. The so-called gospel today is to believe in Jesus, receive peace, and go to heaven. That's good, but that gospel is too shallow, too superficial. Oh, God's economy. Is God becoming man, that man may become God? That is wonderful. That is grander. That is our universal view or perspective. I hope that our gospel will be preached to such extends such a level. Not only we have the judicial redemption for us not to die, to go to hell, not to be judged, then we were satisfied with that. But God's judicial redemption is merely a procedure. He will save us organically to the end until we'll be exactly the same as His firstborn son. For us to become the many sons of God, to become the fullness of the one who fills all in all, that is His body. That is the great gospel. Rule number 6, the apostles' teaching is the church's constitution. You look at the United States, they fight here and there. It's pitiful and terrible. Today's politics, I came to the United States for over 50 years. I've never seen a circus, you know, it's truly really a circus show. I don't know where to cry or to laugh, those in Washington. Everything is a mess, but it's one thing that causes us to be somewhat encouraged. This country is still under the Constitution. It's not who is the president, who is the judge. What rules and governs the United States is its Constitution. Whoever be the president, it should be protecting the Constitution. They need to swear. They will place a hand on the Bible and say, I will swear that I will protect the Constitution. All the laws, etc., is because of the governing and controlling of the Constitution. Therefore, this country is of law and order, or else, it would be really something, total chaotic. Without the Constitution, the church is a mess. Anybody can say anything. You like to teach this. Anybody can say anything, teach anything. If this church is a mess, this church will be divided. The apostles' teaching is our Constitution. The church should keep and continue steadfastly and absolutely under its governing and rule. For us to read the Bible today is not only to receive some feeding, some comforting, some strength. Actually, we're reading daily the Constitution for God's kingdom could be healthy among us, could be strong amongst us. The Lord's recovery is kept in oneness. A, the apostles' teaching is the constitution of the Christian faith. Actually, this constitution is the objective Christian faith. It's not our believing, but it's the object of our belief, the faith. You are a good American citizen. You should know the Constitution well, not necessarily every item, but basically, fundamentally, you need to know the Constitution because the Constitution protects you as a U.S. citizen. In the churches of God, in the Lord's recovery, we have a Constitution here protecting us, also limits us. So we cannot break the law, cannot be illegal or do things lawlessly. It will also keep, like United States, at least as a country, it will keep the churches of God in the Lord's recovery to be in oneness. B, the apostles' teaching as a church's constitution should be universally taught everywhere in every church in the same way. the work of the elders is not to make announcements, not to sign checks, and then you're a good elder. I'm sorry. That is an inadequate elder. A good elder is to shepherd and teacher. It says shepherding and teaching. A shepherd and a teacher are actually one person. In Ephesians, it's stated very clearly. All the local churches. If we have such brothers, faithful and knowledgeable, know the truth in such a way, they will teach according to God's New Testament economy. Then if we, any church have such brothers, elders, then you are blessed. That is, I will preach a word of grace to talk about what is grace. That grace is what is part of that constitution. That is, with the content of the New Testament economy, the apostles' teaching. One, the teaching of the apostles, be one. The teaching of the apostles is for God's economy, and the teaching is the healthy words of the Lord Jesus. What is the healthy words of the Lord Jesus? That is, besides this teaching, everything else is unhealthy. It has germs, viruses, or it could become a pandemic. Oh, the healthy teaching. Two, all teachings must be restricted by the limit and sphere of the apostles' teaching. There is a limit, there's a boundary, there's a realm. We should keep ourselves within this realm, then we are safe. Three, Christianity has many ways because of the many teachings outside the limit of the apostles' teaching. You have a teaching, then you come out to produce a way. I have another teaching, then I have another way. Then in the Lord's recovery, there are many ways. You say, isn't that good? The more ways, the better. But in this point, we have only one way. One way. Not my way, nor is it your way. It's what the apostles' teaching has established for us, this one way. For all the problems, divisions, and confusions among Christians today are due to one thing, not caring only for the unique revelation of the apostles' teaching. We can testify the brothers before us for so many years faithfully help us to pay attention to this one unique revelation. I can give it a testimony. I'm nobody. I have received grace, as you all, that we have such a blessing. For the past decades, we were under this ministry again and again to receive this ministry, the healthy teaching, the apostles' teaching, until today. In my mind, I only have this. In my heart, I'm filled with this. My mouth came out of this. Isn't that good? Actually, every saint should be apt to teach, to speak such words. They can smell, can hear what is of a different teaching. You know that is different because this is not the teaching of the apostles. You say, oh, you're so narrow. Don't say, I'm so narrow. We're so narrow. You should go to God. You should say, God, why are you so narrow? It's not I'm narrow, because God is narrow. God is the most broad one, and yet he's the most narrow one. He's broad to an extent, cannot into infinity, and yet to the receiving of the genuine believers, we have the most broad receiving. It's according to God, according to Christ. As long as you believe genuinely in the Lord Jesus, your blood washed, the children of God, we will receive you. Right? But concerning teaching, we cannot receive it loosely. We can only receive one teaching, because that has very much to do with our existence. It has to do with the existence of the Lord's recovery. It has a close relationship to keep us in the oneness. See, in the church, there should be one unique teaching, the apostles' teaching, not different teachings. I'm not saying you cannot teach different things. A few days ago, I spoke with the full-timers in the United States, in North America, the English-speaking in North America. What did I talk to them? I talked to them about peace. I talked to them about peace based upon Romans chapter 14. That is, that chapter talks about we should receive all believers. And Paul says, do not judge others. Some are vegetarians, some are eating meat, some keep this day, some do not keep that day. You should receive one another. Paul says, do not judge. One day we'll be in front of the judgment seat of Christ. He will judge. Today is not the day of our judgment. Today, we should be in the reality of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not eating, drinking. It's not up to this matter that you're vegan and you eat meat. It's not in eating or drinking. But what? Righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. And those who walk according to this, you serve according to this, are well pleasing to God, approved by man. It's what God receives and approved by man. I spoke a word. I said to that again, you should serve God in the joy of the Spirit. And I talk about serving the peace of the Spirit. You should serve the righteousness of God to serve the Lord Jesus. I talk about peace, but my speaking about peace is according to what? According to the apostles' teaching. And from the angle of God's economy. I did not use the word economy, but it has everything to do with it. So each one of us should be like that. It should be interpreted. D, the Constitution, like every Constitution, must be properly interpreted. We're so blessed. It's not only we have the Apostles' teaching, but we have the proper interpretation, the most intrinsic, the most proper interpretation of the Apostles' teaching from Genesis to Revelation have been opened up to us. Let's read it. In life study messages, the criticization study messages, there's so much riches we should enter into, that we will be constituted by this constitution, Romans 7. Any teaching that was different from the apostles' teaching was not allowed by the apostles. No other belief besides the unique faith was allowed by the apostles. B, teaching that went beyond the teaching of Christ was not allowed by the apostles, especially in the John's epistles. Those are heresies. Heresies. Anything different are heresies. C, the different teachings, including those from the Old Testament dispensation that were different. Today, you bring back the law. That is what is different and deviated from God's New Testament economy. Do not bring in the Old Testament laws. Many of our just history, shadows, types, figures, and prophecies. We could receive help from that, but many has nothing to do with God's New Testament economy. We should be careful of that. D, all teachings that were different from the unique revelation of God's New Testament economy were considered by the apostle to be winds of teaching, winds or typhoons, hurricanes will come. That is in the book of Ephesians. Little children were tossed about by waves. It did not say it is pagan, but just merely teaching, winds of teaching. Winds of teaching. That is any teaching that is different or from the unique revelation of God's New Testament economy could blow you away. So you'll be tossed about by waves and carried about by every word of teaching. E, God's holy writing should not be twisted by anyone in any way, but rather unfolded rightly and straightly without any distortion. We have it. We have all in the books. Roman numeral 8. The blessing of the church is dependent upon the church's continuing steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, which you have it in the churches, which you receive the blessing every day. Because we continue steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. Number 9, the deciding factor in determining the right ministry, which is the ministry of God's New Testament economy, is the teaching of the apostles. A person's work in the New Testament ministry if he teaches the teaching of the apostles. B, the unique ministry is a ministry ordained by God according to the apostles' teaching. We talk about the New Testament ministry. We'll see the real genuine ministry is based upon the apostles' teaching. Roman numeral 10. We must serve according to, follow, and based along teaching of the apostles. A, we must realize that the way we take is the way of following the apostles' teaching in the New Testament. Everything is under the leadership of the apostles' teaching that is God's New Testament economy, the faith of God in the New Testament, not a certain person, not a listen to me. It's not Watchman Nee nor Witness Lee. Who is our leader? Our leadership is the apostles' teaching, God's New Testament economy, the faith of God in the New Testament. C, whether in the work or in the church, we should rely upon the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching is the constitution of the church and the work. Not only the church, but we, the workers who serve the Lord, even our work should be rely upon or based upon the apostles' teaching. I spoke so much, I have spent much more time. Please forgive me. How about that? We just have a prayer with the one next to us, then we have some strengthening, confirming word.